You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Today, I'm delighted to welcome Cal Garrison back to the show. Cal is a practicing astrologer with 40 years of experience. At present, she goes between casting horoscopes, writing books, and working as the personal assistant to Drunvalo and Claudette Melchizedek. Editor-in-chief at Drunvalo's online magazine, The Spirit of Mott, Cal is also a syndicated columnist for the Associated Press. She's an author with 6 books to her credit, including Slim Sperling's Universe, Ancient Science Rediscovered to Restore the Health of the Environment and Mankind, The Astrology of 2012 and Beyond, which is one of my favorites, and The Wiser Field Guide to Ascension. Ms. Garrison lives happily in the Red Rocks of Sedona, Arizona, and she can be reached at cal.garrison@gmail.com. So let's catch up with Cal and find out what's been happening since we last chatted. Hi, Cal. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys doing? I've been really looking forward to this conversation because so much has gone on in the last few months, and I don't even know what's been up with you guys. But to me, we're sliding into home plate or something. Everything is going twice as fast.
Well, let's hear. I want to hear what you have to say because, I think that's really what everybody wants to find out about. And you also just came off of some workshops with Drunvalo. So,
what's your perception? I just came out of a 5-day workshop with him, and it's interesting. It was one of the things I think that everybody's really concerned about now is this whole idea of the pole shift. Mm-hmm. Because it's so evident that something's going on, and even though none of us really know when or if this is even mm-hmm. going to happen, mm-hmm. the acceleration of change on the planet has been absolutely outrageous. And some of the things that have been going on, you know, the oil spill, the volcanoes, the fires in Russia, mm-hmm. the earthquakes, and all of the changes, even the economic changes, and many of the things that you see going on now in the government with mm-hmm. everybody, you know, putting up their, you know, raising their hand and saying, hey, guess what? You know, this is the truth about this and that. So you see all of these things coming together, and they look, you know, as if all these prophecies are unfolding one at a time. But the last of the Hopi prophecies hasn't come to pass yet. And that one is, we've had the oceans turning black, and the blue star has appeared.
Oh yeah.
Only one that hasn't been met is the red star prophecy.
Oh, tell us about that.
Well, the red star prophecy says that, you know, they don't really even have any information about it, Lance.
Huh.
I mean, when I was doing the 2012 book, I hunted up and down for information on that prophecy.
Huh.
I think you have to be an elder to even know what it is. But all they say is when the red star appears, that will be it. Okay.
Wow.
So the appearance of the red star is the last of the prophecies. When the blue star appeared back in 2007, they said, okay, this is going to mark the beginning of the end.
Uh-huh.
But then the red star is supposed to be the appearance of this other thing, and that's supposed to be it. Like, as soon as we see that, everything's supposed to go kaput, according to them. Now, one of the things that's going on that has been downplayed, okay, is right now the central star in the Orion Belt is ready to go supernova.
Ah.
All right, now, the central star in Orion is Betelgeuse. Betelgeuse is what they call a red giant. you know, in astronomical parlance, it's known as a red giant. But Dronvalo was talking about this in his last two workshops, and he said, you know, according to him, it's any day now.
Whoa.
All right. So he said, and when that thing goes supernova, it's going to turn into the biggest, reddest thing you've ever seen.
Wow.
All right, so this is what I'm thinking. And to be quite honest with you at this point, I can see everything dissembling around me.
Yeah.
I can see everything falling apart, but I don't think I'm really going to start worrying until we see the red star.
Right, right. And you know, I guess I'm looking in the wrong direction because I keep waiting for the truth that's been concealed from us for, you know, since the beginning of time, and the most recent truths that go on with the military and the governments and the powers that be to come out. And I suppose it is in some ways kind of sneaking out through the internet, but you know, it just doesn't seem like we're getting that's loosened, that the grip has been loosened yet.
The grip has been loosened by, you know, the dark hand of the dark forces, or what are you
right.
talking about?
Well,
you know, my understanding now is they can't get away with murder anymore. All right. In fact, I was told, and this is really interesting, okay?
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe you already know this because I think it was formally announced. They have an official greeter now at the UN for the aliens.
Oh, yeah.
All right. In other words, there has been, some woman has been appointed to be the... Okay, so all of this upfront acknowledgement of the alien presence, I mean, this has just been coming out full force in the last few months. And back in May, even, they had a big... they had a big hoodoo in Washington, okay?
Huh.
It was the 2010, UFO 2010 conference, something, where there were officials and stuff there to, you know, formally acknowledge the alien presence, government officials and stuff. Did we talk about this already?
Not yet, no. Was that the one that it was broadcast on, I think it was even on Fox News, where they were saying that the craft had interfered with the nuclear...
Yes! Okay, no, you want to hear the story on that one?
Yes.
That wasn't even
give me
that.
The skinny.
Yeah, no, apparently, at all of the nuclear facilities all over the world, these huge glowing orbs have been showing up.
Oh.
And they have been sort of floating into wherever they keep all their weapons. And... undoing whatever it is that their capacity to, you know, kill us
right.
has to do. There is no nuclear weapon on the planet right now that has not been dismantled
really?
By these orbs. Yes.
Wow.
So in a sense, I think what's going on right now is these angelic beings, and they've been around forever, but right now they're here in full force.
Wow.
And I think that there has been some kind of suspension of free will because we're such bad children. they've really had to step in and say, look, we've got to stop them from doing this. Because right now what's going on the planet is having an effect on the entire universe. And this ascension process that we're about to go through, from what I've been told, is so critical because everything, it's not just about us, it's everything in the universe hinges on our ability to get through this.
Wow.
And so whoever it is, I mean, there's legions of dwellers and beings that have arrived here, you know, to help us figure out how to deal with ourselves. Okay, and they are not going to allow us to ship ourselves down the tubes. And
and
right now, I think, I don't know, I haven't had time. We've been in this workshop all week, okay, and I haven't had a whole lot of time to do my homework, and my homework usually involves just keeping up with the stories that are coming out on the web. But so many people have stepped down. So many people have been exposed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the evidence against all of the people in power is so obvious and so blatant and so out there.
Mm.
you know, all of them should be incarcerated right now if we weren't, you know, so spellbound by the fact that everything has reversed so quickly.
Yeah.
In other words, we're waking up so quickly that people can't believe it yet. I think everybody's shell-shocked, you know, knowing that,
yeah.
you know, the whole
yeah.
entire world is run by a bunch of criminals.
Well, like, and, yeah, exactly.
And so the whole thing of the human population turning around and beginning to realize that, you know, this is, we've got to start thinking for ourselves here.
Right, right.
You know, we've got to be willing to reverse every belief.
Yep.
Okay, because essentially I see that as an issue now, too. I think one of the biggest problems on the planet is that all of the human beings have been totally disillusioned by their leaders and the people in power. Everything we've been fed, all of the beliefs, all of the ideas about what's true,
mm-hmm.
you know, everybody's
mm-hmm.
beginning to see that none of that is true, that our innocence has been exploited.
Oh, my, yes.
And that everybody is turning around and saying, hey, guess what? For instance, in relationships, do you see all the changes that are going on in people's relationships?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that whole thing, and I'm just going to use it as an example because it's one of many, the whole thing of the idea and the beliefs that we have about marriage, now everybody's coming up against them. Square in the face and realizing that, you know, nobody really, truthfully, nobody, with the exception of a few souls who perhaps were karmically destined, you know,
mm-hmm.
to have a perfect
mm-hmm.
relationship in this lifetime, nobody's ever been able to fit into that paradigm.
Exactly.
I don't know anybody that hasn't been married and divorced at least two times.
Only once for me.
Oh, okay, okay. Well,
it's kind of like,
now that one issue
yeah.
doesn't seem to be working for anybody right now. And most of the people I'm talking to are saying, I don't know how to do this. How are we supposed to do this?
Yeah, yeah.
The banking system.
Oh, my God, yes.
You know, the belief in the politics, the belief in the integrity of the politicians. I mean, how could anybody believe that anymore?
Yeah.
Given what's happened down in the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
You know, have you been keeping up with that story?
As much as possible. But, it's an enormous fabric of lies, manipulation, and dark dealings that everybody except the public is privy to.
Yes.
You know, it's a massive...
And this has been a problem, you know. This last month,
yeah.
You know, I think at the end, somewhere around the end of July, they stopped talking about the oil spill.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it was like they put a gag order on that story, and then they came out and they said, "Oh, everything's fine. These bacteria have developed, and they're down there chewing up all the oil."
Yeah, and
well,
the swimmers
was
in the
true.
Ocean.
But the interesting thing about those bacteria is I'm not so sure it was like a natural occurrence.
Yeah.
Because they've been slipping so many other things
into
the water.
Yeah, yeah.
And this particular form of bacteria actually feeds off oil, but it mutates.
Yeah.
Okay, and I think, who knows, perhaps the oil causes it to mutate, but it mutates into a more virulent strain of whatever it was to begin with.
Oh, yeah. Don't you think that's all pretty much intentional? It almost seems like a scorched earth policy.
You're right on about that.
Yeah. Well, let me give you a quick example. Today, I looked out. I live in the country, so I have a clear view of the skies. And today, for the first time, I saw the chemtrails that are overhead in a perfect tic-tac-toe formation. I counted 12 perfect squares. And,
get out.
It was just clearly delineated, and it was like a patchwork quilt. And you see them in commercials, you see them on television shows now, and this is a major area of denial for people, even when you point and have them look up. So, I've had people on the show years and years ago that were talking about them, and they said, well, if somebody doesn't accept the fact that these things are going on. He, you know, the guest said, "I won't even talk to him because they're just in denial and ignorance."
Sure.
So, I mean, that's just one area that we, you know, are asleep to. And we could probably spend the whole hour talking about that, but we're not going to.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing with the chemtrails is like, if we could, if somehow or other, see, I don't know. You know, on the one hand, I think everybody's got to sort of clean up their own backyard and take care of their own stuff.
Right, right.
And start living from a place of, instead of buying into all that stuff or being controlled by it. In other words, you know, if you're too afraid to leave your job because you're so afraid that it represents your security, or if it's very difficult for you to sort of follow the things that you really want to do.
Right.
It's better for people to begin now to slow everything down.
Yes.
Unplug.
Yes, yes.
And get into whatever it is that you have always wanted to do, if you're not already doing that, because that energy, you know, the consciousness upliftment that we're all so, you know, in need of, comes when we begin to live in a truthful way, according to the precepts that are true for us, instead of these stupid ideas that we've been fed about how life works.
Right,
because,
exactly.
You see, the only one who's benefiting from that belief are the people that exploit the ones or who are making money off it. There are a lot of people that are profiting off our stupidity.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
And if we continue to be stupid, they're going to continue to be rich.
That's
the other
right.
thing is, too, that a lot of people with a lot of money are stepping up to the plate, too. I mean, a lot of those people have gotten really conscious.
Well, then,
you know,
that's important.
And they want to help out.
Yeah,
so,
good.
I don't know. I don't even know what to say. My mind is sort of semi-blown, too, because these workshops are always amazing, you know.
Well, can you share some of the more profound insights that came through this most recent workshop with Junvalo?
Well, the main thing was that he spends that basic Earth Sky workshop, you know, his whole teaching has to do primarily with the Merkaba, but really the truth of the teaching is held in the information that he teaches about the heart.
Mm.
And when he came in, I think most of the people that are listening know that he was a walk-in, and he came in 1972. He's Melchizedek, and he was sent here to help us in this emergency. The Melchizedeks are always sent anywhere that there's an emergency in the cosmos. And if you read the Urantia book, you can read all about the Melchizedeks.
No.
But when he came in, because of the way that we're wired, you know, human beings are wired, we're totally hooked up to our left brains.
Right.
And the right brain is fast asleep. So he had to teach the Merkaba first. Okay, he couldn't have taught us about the heart before he taught us about the Merkaba. Because what the Merkaba does is it hooks you up with your higher self, and then when you begin to start that line of communication, what happens, the information that you get directs you to your heart. But the heart work is the key to everything, because it is the frequency that Mother Earth is going to be on when she shifts. And one of the things that he did say about this shift, okay, everybody's speculating on it, it could happen in 10 minutes, it could happen in 100 years, it could happen in 1,000 years. You have to be in your heart in order to make the shift with Mother Earth. It's not about whether you got food in the ground or whether you got a little safe little bunker
right.
to escape to. It's nothing like that.
Right.
You have to be vibrating on the same frequency, and that bandwidth is in the heart. All right, so that wisdom that takes you into the heart is what he imparts, and this goes back, well, the earliest it goes back to is about 6,000 years, but it goes all the way back to the fall of Atlantis. So the heart information, what he does is he provides the people with a map of how to get in. And once they get into their heart space, which is actually a physical space,
mm-hmm.
is the space where your soul goes between lifetimes. And there's a lot of information about the heart that's really interesting. But if you've done that, okay, or if you've been through his training and if you've actually had that experience, it's really a truthful thing. It's probably the most unbelievable experience that you could ever have. And it's interesting that, you know, you can get 140 people together in a workshop and all but a few of them, you know, figure out in that five-day period how to get into that space. And they're not just going by Drunvalo's say-so. They're going by their own experience now.
Well,
so they've had the experience, and the ones who don't are going to go home and continue to practice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, but it's an interesting phenomenon that there are so many people now who know how to do this. And what happens is that it's all the whole 100th monkey thing, you know.
Oh, yes.
Where people who, you know, you're automatically influencing everything that you connect with and everyone that you connect with when you're working or living in that space. And so it is from there that we will be able to change things, I think, because it is the great void. It
yeah.
is the point of creation. And when your consciousness is centered in the heart space, whatever you can imagine becomes real. All right? And you get groups
right.
of people doing this. It's very, very interesting. But first, when they first
yeah.
learn how to go in, their beginning work starts on clearing up their own life.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, you know, doing group stuff, you know, to my knowledge, you know, he hasn't taught any of that yet. But in his teachings, and I think this is something that's going to come up in the future, is that he says it takes three people to change the world.
Huh.
All right. So if you can get three people together, because it's the father, mother, child energy.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Who are all vibrating in the heart space. The visions that you create together can transform the world.
Huh.
But we're getting so much support right now. I almost feel like we will be carried through this. I think this whole business of the 10-10-10 that everybody's making a big deal out of.
Oh, yeah. What
I mean,
about
there could
that?
Be something to that.
Yeah.
Of course, that happens tomorrow, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And
so there's a prediction of
yeah.
all kinds of, like, this is the beginning of a whole new octave. This is when we really get off the ground. Part of me thinks that a lot of these, you know, things, the significance of day, of course it's significant. Numbers are significant.
Oh, absolutely.
But why wasn't October 1st, 2010?
Right.
Okay. So
yeah.
my
yeah.
feeling is that sometimes they do this stuff just to test the gullibility of the New Age mind.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, you know, you really see it. What I know about the 10-10-10 date is every year on the 10th of October, the sun moves into a stretch of the universe that is known as the Via Combusta, and it stays there until the 10th of November. Okay, and the Via Combusta, according to the ancient astrologers, was a path through a series of fixed stars that rendered everything that happened under its influence disastrous.
Huh.
Okay, so most of the predictors and the prophets and the guys like Cliff High, the guy from Half Past Human,
oh, right.
they've been saying that we are really on the slipperiest part of the slippery slope right now. And
well,
that's what it feels like to me. I mean, how do you
it
feel?
Does, yeah, it does feel like I feel it, too. And, of course, since you mentioned Cliff High, his big prediction for the year, is, which everybody is watching, is the November 8th through 11th dates, which, according to his WebBot predictions, is supposed to be between 10 and 1,000 times larger an event than 911 was.
Well, you know what I think? You know, the scuttlebutt here is that's the day they're going to shut down the Internet.
Well, you know, that's possible.
Try to picture that one, huh?
I've been seeing this happening already. I've been sensing the shutdown of the Internet, and I've been withdrawing from various groups and, you know, subscriptions only because, number one, the Internet isn't what it used to be 10 years ago or 15 years ago. And number two, we're moving into a new form of communication, which is going to be intuitive and psychic and interconnected. So
yes,
at some point, I feel personally that we have to give up our crutches and tools, which have brought us to the point at which we can again reconnect in our, as animals do and as the Earth does, to those grids and light patterns that will inform us and interconnect us in unity.
You know, I think that is a really, really smart thing. Just, I think you're absolutely right. Because in a sense, the Internet has sort of like taught us that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That
it's
web is
just,
we're all connected. Exactly. You're so right on.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
See, the other thing is, and God knows, I hope they don't kill him before it happens, but there has been an alternative free energy Internet system that has been in the works since, I don't know when, maybe early 2000?
1950.
Maybe even longer before. I mean, the work of this guy, Hartmut Müller.
I don't know.
He is a German guy who was doing research for the Russians for years. And he was under a gag order. He could never speak about any of his research, and when they finally let him out, his agreement with the Russians ended, and he went back to Germany. He started talking about the energy research that he had done for the Russians, and, you know, that guy, the Russians were sending rockets into space with no fuel. All right.
I believe you. I think they might be way ahead.
And Hartmut Müller was the guy who figured that all out, but they have an Internet system that's all set to go where, and I, to be quite honest with you, it's like way over my head. I'm not a scientist, but it's just set up that you pay a subscription and you hook into this thing and you get free power, you know, for
whatever
it is that you need. And it's all operating not off the electromagnetic field, but off the gravity field.
Right.
All right, so
that makes so much
these
sense.
Slim Sperling was big into this. In fact, he was the one that got it all going.
Huh. Wow.
He established this relationship with this guy, turned everybody else in this country onto it, and so a lot of people have gotten behind Hartmut Müller's stuff. And my sense is when they shut down the Internet, you know, and I know they know about this man. I mean, it's not they don't know everything, but I don't think they're going to have any jurisdiction over this by that time. And then even if it doesn't happen, I would consider that a blessing. Frankly, I can't wait till the Internet shuts down.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's turned into another place for corporations to sell their wares. I mean, you can't watch a video or look at anything without a thousand ads popping up, and you know, it's just, it's not a fun and enjoyable place to be anymore.
No, it's
you
true.
Know, there's, the freedom has been sucked dry, and we're being milked for every last penny.
Yeah, you're right about that. And
you know,
and I can't figure that out. Like, that's the other thing. It's like, what, you know, the last thing most people seem to need is more money.
Well,
I mean,
you know,
I don't understand what the money is.
That.
It never got me anything. You know
what
I'm saying?
I have a theory about that, that the people who are still asleep and the ones who are unconscious all sense the coming changes. And as these energies ramp up, there's going to be a greater divide between those, the haves and the have-nots.
Yeah.
And it's basically fear. And the fear is that there's going to be a spiritual revolution and a spiritual shift.
Yes.
And so people sense this, and they're trying to pull the last of what they consider to be security out. But once everybody awakens to the idea that there is no security, and especially in material things, then the game will be up.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You want to hear something interesting?
Yes.
Like I keep saying, I heard what you said, by the way, and I agree with it. One of the things that Drumbelow's wife is, her name is Claudette, and she is a remarkable teacher.
Oh, yeah.
And she's been spending the past 2 years going over to Russia, doing workshops over there. She goes over for a month, and then she comes home for a month. But this has been going on for a year, at least. And she was hired by this man who's like a big, huge business magnate in Russia. He lives in Moscow. And he happens to be a highly spiritual person with a ton of money.
Ooh, good.
And he has this whole program where he's trying to, his purpose he feels, and I believe that it's true, I've looked at his chart, his purpose he feels is to bring the spiritual component into the way people conduct business. Okay, so Claudette is going over there. And for a month at a time, she's training these high, high business executives, you know, 300 people at a time.
Good.
In these methods that allow them, okay, to see that there has to be a spiritual component in the way we do business because we have turned Mother Earth into a commodity.
Yep, yep.
And therefore, if there is no spirituality in people's business practices, we're going to screw ourselves up.
That's right.
Well, the interesting thing about this is that these really tough, I mean, high-powered, you know, Russian businessmen, okay, these are guys with limos and everything on the planet, you know, are softening up, and they're healing their primary wounds, and they're going to this space of discovering what they're really here for, and they're seeing how this change in, you know, bringing that vibration into their work improves their business a hundredfold.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so what I'm seeing is that the old way of doing business, even for the greed-oriented people, is sooner or later going to end up being obsolete because they're going to realize that it's stupid to do it any other way.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I see that kind of morphing.
Yeah, yeah.
And
good.
And in this last couple of days, I was thinking, well, okay, I'd always thought that the pole shift, I would like there to be a pole shift.
Yeah.
I would like it to be, like, as soon as possible. Because I think it's the quickest way to sort of clean everything up.
Yeah.
But then I realized, well, you know what, even if there isn't one, it seems as if things are sort of rolling over somehow, turning around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I'm meeting people. You know, I shop at the Goodwill all the time.
Uh-huh.
You know, my friends that work up there, I mean, they're all super conscious beings that happen to be masquerading as really normal, helpful people. You know,
right.
But they all know what's going on. So
Interesting. Interesting.
I don't know what's going on in your neck of the woods. I'm sure people are getting pretty conscious there, too. Aren't you in Nevada?
Well, I live in the foothills of Northern California where the gold country is. There's Angels Camp, and we're the little town I live in was actually, the center of town was a druid formation, and where this town is on a pentagram. It's interesting. And one of the ranchers that lives across the American River, she just recently has been waking up, and she's telling me stuff now about what's going on. So it does seem that people even in the most unlikely areas are starting to get it.
Well, you see, this is the thing, because you know the awakening process. You know, there's a million ways to wake up.
Yeah.
And in a way, you know, I don't care who you are. Everybody at some point, you know, is going to wake up to their purpose. Now it's more likely that people will.
Yeah,
but it's like there's this wand that's being brushed over the planet. I know that sounds insane, but...
No, it doesn't. I believe in fairies and wands and all that stuff.
Oh, my God. And so anyhow, I'm just watching and observing, and I'm slowing everything down, and I'm looking at, you know, which day are they going to pick to shut down the internet? Or does the fact that everybody's hip to the fact that they're up to something, is that going to call it off? I mean,
right.
Who knows?
Yeah, because
we're not stupid anymore. The interesting thing about this stretch between the fall equinox and the first weeks of November is that it's loaded with, you know, Illuminati, you know, favorite dates.
Oh.
Okay, so you've got the equinox, then you've got September 29th. I mean, the Skull and Bones people love that day for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah.
Then you've got Halloween.
Right.
Which, of course, is when they like to pull a lot of crazy stunts.
Right.
And then you've got the next 4 days, which, you know, depending on where you're living, is the Day of the Dead or All Souls Day or whatever.
Yeah.
I know that I always like to keep watch about, you know, as what they do on Halloween night, because they usually knock off some poor conspiratorial person.
Yeah.
On that day. And if you go back through the years, you can see, you know, either that or they engineer some kind of mass disaster, like an airplane crash or a ship sinking or something. So they get to, you know, get to have their sacrifice by default.
Right.
I don't know what's going on. It's a crazy time.
And then you've got the weather wars in various countries causing earthquakes and volcanoes and, you know, storms and all that. So we're not only are we literally living in an illusion, but we can't tell what's natural and what's not anymore because there's so much distortion and interference with natural frequencies that you can't, if something big happens, you can almost guess that it was something contrived.
Of course. Well, you know, it's funny.
Yeah.
There were a bunch of Russians in this workshop. The Russian people are all into this stuff. They've got the biggest
hearts on the planet. Oh, I think they're terrific. I love the Russian people.
I do, too. I love them. They're great people.
They're so... And the Ringing Cedars series.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that stuff. I mean, I want to go there. Let's go.
I know.
I want to have the squirrels bring me breakfast.
Yeah. naked.
Yeah. Well, the Russians were telling me, you know, for 2 weeks this summer, it was 120 degrees in Moscow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Now, at the same time, and I was reading this morning, I don't know, you know where I was reading it in Nexus? Nexus is sometimes a good source for stuff. If you read, that kind of literature, they were saying in Nexus that the poles are barreling towards Moscow at a rate of 70 miles a day.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, and there's so many magnetic field fluctuations. You know, anybody out there who's been feeling a little weird, a little disoriented, anybody out there who's too young to have Alzheimer's and thinks they might be coming down with it,
yeah.
I mean, it's really the magnetic field fluctuations. When that magnetism disappears, you lose your memories.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And what I've been noticing is for periods of time, you know, check it out with your friends. On any day when you're feeling a little nuts, you know, chances are everybody you know is too.
Oh, yeah.
And if you get over yourself and just say, hey, you know, by the way, are you noticing X, Y, or Z?
Yeah, it's going on big time. And dizziness, like I've noticed within the last few weeks, not only mental blackouts or blanks, not due to drinking, mind you, but just, you know, nothing there. It's just as if somebody took an Etch-a-Sketch and shook it.
I love it.
And also dizziness.
Mm-hmm.
And
In fact, you know, it's funny, you know, when we work at these workshops, it's interesting, you know, there's a bunch of women who are on the staff who just take care of everything and make sure the logistics are all handled. So everybody has a smooth ride. And the main gal, you know, the one who actually, she's the gal who coordinates all of Drumbelow's workshops for him. She had to leave. She was so dizzy, she had to take off and go to the acupuncturist because she was like, whoa.
Wow.
You know? And I haven't had that experience. But just this I feel like it's easier to stay in present time. I mean, that's one good thing about
it. Yes, and also, wouldn't that be beneficial for moving? Because we have way too much mind activity, and that takes us out of our self and out of our hearts, you know, the mind of the heart. So as the mind starts to collapse and disappear, you know, there almost won't be any choice except to naturally gravitate towards our center, the heart.
Exactly, and that's what this is for. And that's what the disappearance of the mind god is for, because what we're beginning to realize is like, whoa, we have strayed so far away. You know, what most people don't realize is that from a cosmic perspective, the more technologically developed a civilization is, the further away they are from the truth, and the less spiritual they become.
Yes.
And it's interesting because we place such a high value on the linear, logical, mental aspect of ourselves. And if you know anything about, you know, the way, you know, the ancients regarded all of that stuff, the Egyptians, you know, when somebody died and they were going through the mummification process, they'd take all the organs out of the body and clean it out. They'd save the heart and the genitals, they'd preserve them and put them back in the body. But you know what they did with the brain?
What?
They sucked it out through the nose and threw it into the garbage.
Oh.
That's how much respect they had for the mind. Because you cannot do anything with it.
That is so funny.
That's true. I mean, that's straight from
I remember reading that a while back.
Yeah.
It's so appropriate.
Yeah, I know. And so here we are. I mean, Christ, I got a daughter who's a PhD.
Oh, golly.
I mean, she's taken the whole, you know, development of the mind to its highest possible expression. And, you know, it's like I'm looking at her right now and I'm saying, holy. You know, she understands all of this because she grew up with me, but now, you know, she's looking at everything I put my life into, you know, having to confront the fact that maybe it has absolutely no real value, which is so strange because, of course, she works for the higher education and that's all supposed to be good. You know, even that is a tough thing to look at.
Oh,
you see all of the encouragement that people get to stay in school.
Oh, yeah.
I think people would be better off, you know, just saying, screw school.
Oh, absolutely.
And going out and getting a life and learning how to live.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No question about it. All the systems are not only defunct, they're working contrary to the benefit of humans. So, yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
One thing I want to ask you before we go on too much further is about the indigenous Mayans in, I guess it's South America. I remember hearing Junvalo talk about this on the video and mentioning that they were going to be coming out with their own book.
You know what happened? You know
what
happened to that? God knows what happened to that, because that was back in 2007, 2008. They decided they were going to do that. At that point, Drumbelo was very, you know, much involved with all of that. We were doing a lot of work with them. With Don Alejandro, otherwise known as Wandering Wolf, with the Kogi Elders. I mean, he went down and spent 2 weeks with the Kogi Elders.
Oh, they're amazing.
Nobody goes up there.
No, but exactly.
Yeah, nobody goes up there, okay? And they, something happened, okay? And I really don't know exactly when it happened, but I think that whole effort got infiltrated, as everything does. Now, what I noticed was after the gathering of the ancestors that we had here in Sedona, couple of years ago, God, I can't even remember when it was, maybe 2009, 2009, that whole, the work we were doing with them, not with Okogie, the bond with Okogie has never been broken, but Don Alejandro signed a contract with people in Hollywood.
Uh-oh.
And everything seemed to change at that point. In fact, I even heard that they started, making slanderous comments about Drumbolo and his part in all of this and blah,
uh-oh,
blah, blah. So it got screwed up by some kind of soap opera thing.
Yeah.
And then when Hollywood took it over, what they did was they sent out legal notices to everybody that had ever done anything with them. I mean, we've got thousands of reels of video footage,
wow,
of ceremonial stuff that was done with Drumbolo, Don Alejandro, and all those guys, you know, that was fully sanctioned. And now Hollywood's coming in and saying nobody has any right to share any of that.
Wow.
Okay. And I don't know what happened to Don Alejandro. My sense is, okay, so the book got put on hold. Hollywood got hold of it. And my sense, and this is just my opinion, okay?
Yeah.
Is that Hollywood got in and said, don't come out with all the truth all at once. Let's milk this trend long as we can. So they've got until 2012 to squeak out the truth.
Yeah, boy.
So that they want to profit off it, you see?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And it's not helping anybody.
No, of course not. Of course
not. And what I've got, and what this taught me, I mean, I've always, I kind of over-idealize everything.
Yeah.
Okay, the Indians, the native people, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
you know, they can do no wrong. Well, I've learned that they're human.
Right.
You know, and that they're just as, well, maybe not just as, but they can be influenced in the same way that many of us can.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And so who the hell knows what's going on there? I mean, they even say the Dalai Lama is, you know, under their spell.
I've heard that, too.
Yeah.
I've heard that, too. Well, all the more reason for us, each one of us, as a microcosm, to go within and find our own truth. I mean,
hallelujah.
You know,
yes.
You literally cannot find it out there anymore.
I love you for saying it, because that is the truth.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. And then, you know, we're going to, because we're fragmented as in consciousness, once we're able to reconnect, like the internet without wires, then I think everybody will have the same information, and that will automatically put a halt to any kind of manipulations or bad doings.
And I think it's real easy now to get into telepathic form of communication.
And
it's funny, I've made agreements with, well, at least one of my friends. You know, actually, Claudette's a real good friend of mine, and it's funny, while she was in Russia, I said, let's not email, let's just try to talk telepathically, and we'll compare notes when you get back. I mean, it's really interesting to try to do that.
Oh, yeah.
And just start doing it with the people that you're really connected to and see what happens. You don't necessarily need a telephone.
Right. That's a great idea. I love it.
The other thing, you know, is that we've got all of these super psychic kids around now, you see?
Yeah.
And they already have figured this out. They don't need any kind of electronic device.
Right, that's right.
And so I have a feeling that when and if they do this, this could be their next big trick, you know, because they can't pull off any nuclear stuff. You know, they can't do that anymore, because I guess the orbs floated in and deploy, that's not the word. Dismantled.
Yeah, dismantled.
All of them. But, shutting down the internet, when I start to think, God, I'm going to have to start writing with my left hand again. You know, I'm going to have to start sending letters in the mail.
Yeah.
And what about the banking system when they go out? What about all of the universities and colleges and businesses? I mean, just think, it isn't just the economy that's going to be affected by that. It's everything.
Oh, yeah. That'll be interesting to see, because, you know, it's like one thing gets, one door closes and another door opens.
Well, I'm real curious, because if things don't pop you know, when Cliff says they're going to pop, there is another workshop happening in November.
Oh, good.
I think it begins on the 12th of November.
Oh, good.
I can't remember.
How do people find out about that?
Tremblo's workshops are all listed on his website, and his website is www.tremblo.net. You can also find out through his website, www.onelotus.net.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you can find out about all his stuff on the Spirit of Matt, which is www.spiritofmatt.com. Matt is M-A-A-T. This was going to be his last workshop, this November workshop, but we just heard yesterday that he's going to be doing 5 workshops in Sedona, Arizona next year. He's going to keep working.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, good.
He's amazing. It's amazing to see what happens to people.
Oh, I can
imagine. And this is what I love, because he's not interested in being the big guru, and he's not interested in being the one that knows the most. Although sometimes I feel like he's like that, the smart aleck up the street who knows everything.
Yeah,
because he does. He knows so much stuff. It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. I just
but
love Drew Volo. And I've read all of his work, so...
Oh, I wish you could come to his workshops. Maybe you can come
maybe
next year.
Maybe I'll be able to. I'll look into it.
Yeah.
You know, because it would be a wonderful experience. And, I would love doing it. So I will look into that.
Well, the thing I like about him is he shares everything he knows, because his purpose and his aim is to teach everybody who comes how to get into the place where they can connect with themselves. It's never about him.
Oh, yeah. There's no question in my mind about his sincerity or authenticity or deep wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And his last book, I can't remember the name of it.
Spirit of Light.
Yeah, oh, my God. It was just absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that just left me in an altered state. So,
interesting. He provides a really good example. And basically what he's saying is that as soon as, when people learn to live from their heart, they basically get into a slipstream of energy that opens a pathway so that they can begin to be, we're all moving into a place where it's about being instead of doing.
Right.
And my experience when I am, centered in that place is that everything comes to me.
Yeah.
I don't have to go out.
Yes.
I keep my attention on being, the most, not the most perfect person, but just being impeccable in what I do. And in staying in the moment and in listening to my internal guidance. And it's fascinating to me that the more I relax into it, the better things go. And what I've seen is that we've been so heavily programmed by the Puritan ethic that says, hard work and fruitful labor is the path to God. I mean, we're so busy out there doing, hoping that our acts will redeem us, when all we really have to do is love ourselves and just be.
Yeah, beautifully said. Beautifully said.
And I believe, too, we're already in this fourth dimensional frequency. We're already there.
Yeah, right? I was wondering about that myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just...
And I guess what's going on, and this is something that, we're already there, and they've stepped down our perceptions of it so that we can get used to how it feels.
Yeah.
To be here.
Interesting. Yeah.
And I don't know how people who are really plugged in to the systematic structures are doing. I'd love to know how they're coping at this point in time.
Yeah.
Those people who are all wired up to everything under the sun and have money in the bank and are still invested in the stock market. I don't know how they're coping.
Yeah,
I really don't know how they get.
I don't know either.
Honest
to God, I wonder the same questions. I'm just guessing there will be a point at which there will be total breakdown.
Yeah, It's exciting, isn't it?
It is exciting. It is exciting because on the other side of breakdown is breakthrough.
Yes, and this is, I think this is what people have to see right now.
Yeah,
and even
yeah.
all of these disastrous things, I mean, if you think about, okay, 120 degrees in Moscow.
Wow.
Torrential rains in Arizona. let's see, volcanoes in Iceland. Interesting.
Yeah.
Oil spills, earthquakes, tsunamis here and there.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really try to keep track of the global weather, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And I know that there are a lot of people that are rushing around trying to heal the situation in the Gulf with all kinds of gadgets and tools and stuff. But I wonder about that, because could it be that this huge gash in her belly is part of her healing process?
Mm.
Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I would be hard pressed to think that I could even think of what to do to step in and heal that situation.
Maybe it's a cesarean section.
It is amazing when you think of it, because that oil. I mean,
yeah.
think of what the oil. What does it represent?
Well,
you know, is it if the water is the blood of the planet? What is the oil? I don't know.
I don't know.
Could it be bile?
Ooh.
Yeah. But all of that stuff is being released, and it's almost as if the collective rage and all of the suppressed issues.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it feels like to me, because it's plutonic in nature.
Yeah.
And, you know, regardless of how that happened, it really doesn't matter, because it's a fact.
Right.
And if it was Mother Earth that unleashed herself, or if it was the plutocrats who decided they were going to cut her open so that they could exploit the whole problem and use it as a secondary measure to wipe out. You know, they're trying to reduce the population so that they only have 500 million people here to serve their needs.
Well, good luck on that one.
Well, they're doing a fantastic job. I mean, there's poison in everything.
They everything is poison. There's no question about it. But I just, for some reason, I have the highest faith in the idea that they're absolutely not going to succeed, and that they're on their way. They're on their last legs.
Yes, and that's my take on it too, Lance. Really.
Yeah.
Because like it's kind of like they know they've lost.
Yeah.
And I think this. Maybe I said this to you the last time. There was a guy here. In one of the workshops, a couple of workshops ago, was like one of the he's like one of the leaders of the dark forces, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he showed up at one of Drovolo's workshops, and Drovolo recognized him immediately. I mean, those guys know each other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, and Drovolo doesn't have any discrimination. He wants everybody to wake up. So it's never about, oh, he's the bad guy, I'm the good guy. I mean, they're good friends, and they converse about this. And what he said to Drovolo the last time, or Drovolo said to him, he said, why is it that you guys always do this at the end of every cycle?
Yeah.
Why is it that you always kick and claw when you know you've lost?
Yeah.
And he said, I really don't know. He said, and that's why I'm here.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe that's where the negative polarity can only go so far, and it flips its own poles into the positive, because it can only go so,
Yeah, well, we're going into a totally female thing, and that's another thing.
Thank goodness.
Okay, and the whole idea of, you know, the fact that anybody that I talk to, and I'm sure you can agree, feels like everything's speeding up.
Oh, absolutely. No question about
it. Okay, well, that's everything is speeding up exponentially on a daily basis.
In fact, things are speeding up so fast, we've run out of time.
Okay, well, I love talking to you so much.
I love talking to you, too. We could go on for hours.
I know.
So just promise me that you'll return soon, and we'll pick up a new conversation.
Oh, yeah, great. And if the poles don't shift...
Yeah.
We can do that. If they do, I'll meet you in the fifth dimension.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I look forward to it.
Okay, great.
All right. Thanks a lot, Cal.
Yeah, thank you. I love you, Lance. You take care.
I love you, too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.